The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Have you ever been to the National Archives? You know, the National Archives in Washington, D.C., where you get to see the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. I'm talking about the originals, right? Right there in the National Archives in Washington, D.C. It's an awesome site to behold. It's just really so powerful. You're in the rotunda there. There's obviously, since Nicolas Cage stole the Declaration of Independence, there's a lot of security and cameras and the thick glass, and it's kind of darker in there to protect the documents and all that. But they just came out with a report, of course, because that's what the federal government likes to do, by the National Archives Task Force on racism. So we'll talk about what their problem is with the National Archives Rotunda, where, again, you see the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. And maybe the last time you went through it, did you notice the crying room? For those of you that are of the Catholic denomination, you guys in your church, a lot of them anyway, have a crying room. That's a little room, usually with glass, so you can see what's going on during the actual church service. But you're in there because they don't want crying babies in the service, so they stick you and your crying child in the crying room. So, did you use the crying room, the smelling salt room, the debrief from your traumatic experience room at the National Archives after viewing these unbelievably wicked documents? So I'm going to take you through that, because that I am in the process of reading through three U.S. history textbooks, because I'm going to begin teaching U.S. history to high school age homeschoolers this fall. So my commitment is to teach the truth of U.S. history, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's complicated. It's messy in places. There's beauty and there's the beast all at the same time. But nobody's really teaching U.S. history well. Certainly we know in the public school system, they're teaching their version of U.S. history. And talk about structural. It goes all the way to the top with the National Archives report. So I'm going to take you through that story. Congressman Mark Walker is on his way here. Actually has an event here in Raleigh this evening. He's running for the U.S. Senate primary, which is now basically him, Ted Budd, and former North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory. And so we're going to talk to Mark for a couple of segments. He'll be here in the studio in a little bit. And then in the fourth segment of the show, we'll do a little Money Monday update with our good friend David Fisher. But this story, okay, because this is why I'm diving into the U.S. history battle. And we're praying and hoping, and it looks like we're moving in the direction of greatly expanding my ability to teach not 100 or 150 students in person by myself here in Raleigh, North Carolina, but to expand our ability to do that online. So at any given time in a couple of years, we might have 1,000 students or 2,000 students. Who knows what God might do? But this is one of the reasons right here that I'm finally listening to my wife once again and teaching U.S. history starting this fall. So it's time to reimagine the rotunda. This is from Hot Air. That's the conclusion reached in a report released by the National Archives Task Force. So they're looking at the rotunda at the National Archives, you know, Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence. The report was completed in April and released this month with little notice, which is the problem. The white founding fathers were racists who do not deserve to be recognized for their role in creating the world's greatest experiment in self-governance. Structural racism, quote unquote, unequivocally impacts how employees of the National Archives and Records Administration interact with each other, visitors, and the historic records, too. Because you noticed the last time you were there, all the weeping and gnashing of teeth, right? Some examples of structural racism were provided in the summary of the report, including legacy descriptions that use racial slurs and harmful language to describe BIPOC communities. That's black, indigenous, and other people of color, which includes actual racial slurs alongside terms such as elderly, handicapped, and illegal alien. Trigger warnings. Additionally, the report categorized the National Archives Rotunda as another example of structural racism, as it, quote unquote, lauds wealthy white men in the nation's founding while marginalizing BIPOC, black, indigenous, and other people of color, women, and other communities. So this author in the Hot Air. Maybe some performance art will change how visitors feel. You think that's funny, right? But that was actually something they're talking about. Quote, staging, quote, dance or performance art in the space that invites a dialogue about the ways that the United States has mythologized the founding era, unquote. Mythologized. How is reading an actual historical document and historical timelines telling myths? Apparently, Americans are so soft these days that visitors to the National Archives need to provide trigger warnings as they prepare to view historical documents and safe spaces, too. The report also called for literal trigger warnings to be put in place with historical context, quote, to forewarn audiences of content that may cause intense psychological and psychological symptoms. So they got to provide an advisory notice. So here's their problem. They don't care about U.S. history. They're too lazy to take the time to teach it properly because there's beauty as well as beast. And in order to change the trajectory of this nation, you have to erase its past. That's why one of the largest libraries in the history of the world, the Library at Alexandria, was destroyed by Islam, Muslims, in order to destroy the past so that you can recreate the future, right? Destroy the past. You don't know what you're talking about. You got nothing to cling to. There are no founding principles. Everything about the founding of this nation is tainted by the fact that they allowed slavery to continue. Many of them are slave owners. They were imperfect people, many of whom, by the way, were God-fearing, biblical, respecting, but not born again. They were enlightenment-type Christians, but the Christian worldview dominated the stage, and especially the understanding of the depravity of mankind. And then, interestingly enough, as God would have it, as they penned the Declaration of Independence, they were penning a creed that would then drive them to the mirror to consider the actual impact of believing that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and all that stuff, as our president said. And so the very fact that, like in Chicago, you have a female black lesbian mayor was enabled by the very document they want to burn. Perfect? No, but in order to form a more perfect union, it established a platform by which we can go to the mirror and then go to the mat and then look at the atrocities that are committed. We haven't corrected abortion yet, right? But we shed the blood of 700,000 Americans in order to mostly deal with slavery. And then the civil rights movement happened. And now a gay man, out gay man, can be a leading figure in the federal government, that being Pete Buttigieg. And what all allowed that? What kind of nation would allow those types of people to rise to the top? This nation. Under what? Under the U.S. Constitution. Wow. They are so blind. So blind. It's just remarkable. But I'm not. Which is why I'm going to teach this stuff the right way. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Thankfully, my brother in Christ, Congressman Mark Walker, stopped by and stopped me from imploding. Mark, good to see you. How you doing?
Glad to be part of the intervention process.
Yeah, I needed it. I was just telling Congressman Walker about the story I was just taking you through about reimagining the rotunda, because everything about the foundation of this nation obviously is triggering and just created structural racism from the get-go. None of our founding fathers actually cared about anybody except themselves as wealthy, white, rich landowners. And so yada, yada, yada. So they're looking to install trigger warnings. I mean, literally, Mark, they were talking about maybe being able to do some, I think, interpretive dances, things of that nature, there at the National Archives, in order to somehow blunt the offensiveness and the damage that's going to be done by just gazing upon the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, we really have come off the rails on this area, and I think it's time, and I hope that it's time, and I'm seeing an awakening for many people that said, okay, we're drawing a line in the sand. Listen, it's not that our founding fathers were perfect, but these men were putting their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. This wasn't something they were kicking back. They knew the British Empire was coming after them. Yeah. There was a price they paid, and even though some of it was still aspirational, when they said all men are created equal, the great thing about America is that we never quit trying until we
get
there.
Right, exactly right. That's exactly what I said. It's kind of funny because there was they played on Rush Limbaugh's show recently a clip of him when somebody asked the Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, black female lesbian. Okay, asked her if she's an originalist about the U.S. Constitution. She goes, oh, you mean that document that doesn't acknowledge me as a woman, a black person, or a lesbian? And then Rush said, I felt some compassion at first as he was listening to that. And I do too. I can understand where she's coming from when you understand U.S. history. But she didn't understand that it was the very document she's referencing that allowed her to be, as a black female lesbian, the mayor of one of the biggest cities in America, one of the most influential cities on the planet. And it's because of the U.S. Constitution, in order to form a more perfect union.
Exactly. The work in progress that this would become the land of opportunity for all people, for all communities. And that's something that we don't talk about enough, but we should be very proud of such.
Let's, since you're interested in being the next senator from the great state of North Carolina, what did you think of what just happened to NC State University's baseball team?
I lost my mind. Now, a lot of people don't know this. I've been fighting with the NCAA for the last 3 years. In fact, I remember my office there in the Longworth building when the NCAA showed up, their top lobbyists and three attorneys, and asked me, what the heck do you think you're trying to do here? Now, that was when we were working on getting the name, image, and likeness, because we don't think any American should sign off their own name to any entity.
Yeah.
But when I saw this, why Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, still has a job blows me away. After they abused North Carolina over the past HB2, tried to intimidate us, and now they're attacking NC State at a decision that they made in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night.
That crushed the hopes of these young student athletes. I had to preach Sunday morning, so Saturday evening when this is breaking, I had to temper my language until I was at least done with that. But these pompous, self-righteous people, the entity and the brashness and the arrogance, I'm hoping people will pay attention just how corrupt these folks are.
Oh, so they're so corrupt. They're so given over. They're such a part of the machine. And it's well beyond PC at this point, because you get two players test positive. Then they test the whole team. Four more players test positive. They've all been vaccinated. Yet there's 20 to 25,000 people in the stands. Nobody's tested. Nobody's nothing. They're just out there hanging out, having a good time. And then they just target these guys because they continue to just embrace the notion, not even knowing the mathematics behind people 24 down to the age of one. The mathematical probability of dying from COVID is statistically zero.
Well, it is problem in the way they make their decisions. And remember this, these guys have a nonprofit status, which precludes them from doing anything political. And if you look at their track record, that's anything but. They've been playing in politics. And I tell you what, I hope members of Congress, I know we went after them for 2.5 years. And if we get a chance to be the U.S. Senate, we're going to continue to stay on their trail.
Yeah, it's really remarkable. I was hoping that the other teams would say, we're all sitting down.
Yeah.
Until they play, none of us plays. But, of course, human nature gets in the way and the depravity of mankind. So let me talk about an elephant in the room. And I was torqued off when this happened at the GOP convention here in North Carolina. You won the straw poll handily.
Right.
44% for you, 29% Ted Budd, 18% Pat McCrory. And then our former President Trump steps in, who you've known for years and have a good friendship with, and endorses Ted Budd. And that was kind of like an NCAA moment for me. I was rather upset by that. I can only imagine what that's been like for you to deal with.
Well, you know what? It was a little bit of a punch in the gut at the moment. My daughters were up there sitting at the table. In fact, they were texting me, Daddy, can we leave? I said, no, not a chance. We're going to do the right thing. We're going to stick it out, show the respect. But they're, that's inside baseball, inside politics sometimes. And this stems back from when Mr. Meadows' wife's best friend was running up there. I supported Madison Cawthorn. I thought he was a better candidate. And after Mr. Meadows had convinced President Trump to endorse his wife's best friend, he and I were doing competing robocalls on election day.
Man, yeah.
And I remember backstage being with Madison Cawthorn after he won like 65-35.
Oh, man,
and he said, Mark, what do I say? I said, you go out there and you say you look forward, you're working with the president.
Yeah.
But there are some things sometimes that we have. It's like our support has galvanized over the last two or three weeks, and we've got different metrics that have measured such.
I know very few active Republicans in North Carolina personally that were not disappointed and upset by that. But then, it is, to a certain extent, it's politics as usual, and it's one of the things, ironically, that got Trump elected in the first place. I think a lot of us that vote Republican have a visceral distaste for the game being played as usual, even when it's a president that you loved and appreciated. But I think for a lot of, at least for myself, I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I move on. How does it change what you're doing?
It doesn't change a bit. The amount of appreciation that we've gotten statewide, it's like we became the underdog overnight. So no, we're rallying behind Mark Walker. And I think the reason why, and listen, no disrespect to President Trump. You're only as good as the advisors that you have around you sometimes.
Sure.
But I think one of the things that my wife and I, Kelly, were talking about this, we don't fit in any camp. We don't fit in the establishment camp. Mitch McConnell's not dialing our phone. And even this kind of
Can I insert a praise the Lord right there?
Exactly,
and an amen?
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
And there is a conservative mafia style that's really PAC, super PAC driven. We don't fit in that camp either because here's why. We never surrendered our voting card to any caucus, any group, any special interest, and we're proud of that, and we're going to continue to work towards it.
Yeah, and that's exactly why you've been somebody that I've appreciated and supported the whole time, and it's been great to watch it. I often tell people, listen, I don't require somebody in elected office to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't. If we had a really solid, great-thinking atheist, if that was my only choice, but they were pro-life and they were right on the issues, I could give them my vote.
Sure.
But if I can get somebody that's solid on the issues and has the Holy Spirit, I'm down for that.
Well, thanks, because here's why. This is no longer about Republicans and Democrats. The swamp is deep as much as it is on
goodness.
Both sides,
right?
This is spiritual warfare, and that is the approach. If we're going to have some wins, if we're going to have some successes here, there's not more programs or policies. This has something that we have to battle from a spiritual context.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And if you don't understand that, because behind all these stories are spiritual realities, whether you want to talk about what happened with the NCAA, COVID, critical race theory, excuse me, whatever. I know for a fact that there's principalities and powers behind it all. Most people aren't aware of that. Those of us that are in the body of Christ are aware of it. And it really gives you an extra edge in terms of dealing with things that are actually good for your neighbor. We're talking to Congressman Mark Walker, Walker4, that's the number 4, NC.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Another pleasurable visit from our good friend, Congressman Mark Walker. That's Walker4NC. That's the number 4. Walker4NC.com. Who would like to be, if you're here in North Carolina, one of your U.S. senators. And just a pleasure to have Mark back in the studio. And your schedule is crazy, bro.
You know what? But as crazy as it sounds, I enjoy it. It's one of the reasons I never moved my family to Washington, because I feel like part of your job, part of the founding father's idea was to be a representation, was to be here, to live in the state and traveling. Let me tell you, it's 9 hours and 16 minutes wide.
Oh, man.
The state. But I love being out there among the people, listening and understanding what they're talking about.
Yeah, and it's such an important thing to get out there and connect like that. Our mutual friend Dan Forrest was just masterful at it. And I say masterful as if that was a plan. That was just who he is.
Yes.
And he cares about the people. And if you're going to care about the people and represent the people, it helps to get to know the people. So now that you have a little distance from D.C. and you're watching what's happening up on the Hill, especially with the growing influence of the Squad and what we see happening in the U.S. Senate and Mitch McConnell and what's going on in the House, what are some of the big issues for you, Mark, that you're like, you wish you were in the game like right now?
Well, the first thing I do is I pray for Joe Manchin every day.
Oh, man. No kidding.
just hold the line there. Remarkable. Because he's literally the republic that we have that's hanging on by threads. He is the one, I think, that can go either way with it. But I think we've got to continue to raise the alarm on China.
Yeah.
Last 2 years I spent as the ranking member on intelligence and counterterrorism for Homeland Security. And on that subcommittee, the two things that I really focused on was China's growth militarily as well as the border issues. Right now in the South China Sea, China is assembling and building close to 250 to 300 warships.
Man.
What they're doing, and people ask me the date, Steve, they say, well, what does it really matter whether America is the number one superpower or if it's China?
Well, wow.
Let me explain to you about concentration camps and human rights violations and what they do to Christians and limiting the families. This is a brutalic communist country, and I hope we don't get away from that, because the amount of money that we're borrowing, a lot of that from China, that's why all this is tied together. And when you have not one or two, but five Bidens that have now taken more than $20 million from either the CCP or organizations inside there, it's very concerning to me. That would be the number one issue I would be raising attention to.
Yeah, and China, and everybody needs to understand that China's, in many ways, do we have to deal with them? Absolutely. And they are an economic superpower, bar none. And so you have to deal with them, but you can't trust them as far as you throw them.
No, they've been stealing our stuff for years, but now they're producing their own products and entities and technology that frankly, is concerning to to me.
Yeah, and then and I try to be delicate about our president's mental ability.
Sure.
Because I'm trying to love my neighbor as myself. My father died at 91. I've seen what can happen to people as they get older. Now, the president's not nearly that old. But is that something that we should be having an open discussion about? Because a lot of people will say, oh, no, you know, let's just not go there. That's rude towards older people. But he is the president of the United States.
He is the president of the United States. And this is not humorous to me. And a lot of people like to make a joke about it. And I understand, like, but if you listen to, in fact, somebody sent me something last week that he gave the same speech just a year ago.
Yeah.
And the lack of ability to articulate or to remember some of his even talking points, he just couldn't do it. And it is concerning to me because when you have people across this globe that look to do us harm, that have hated the fact that we have been the longest lasting republic in the history of the world, I love that based on our faith, they want to undermine us. And I worry that not only the President Biden, but the staff and the team he has around him that's guiding him and coaching him and helping him make these decisions. It's just we're in a very concerning place right now.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to see a President Kamala Harris, but I think it's certainly on the table. We've never really looked at the 25th Amendment from a serious perspective to enact it, but I think we're in that world now.
I do, and like I said, I in my past positions, I try to stay away from the conspiratorial aspect of this, but I can see people coming to Joe Biden saying, listen, it's time for you to sit down. We want Vice President Kamala to take over. We want her to run as incumbent. And if you push back, we're going to release information of how just involved China has been with the Biden family, because a lot of this has protected him at this point.
Yeah.
And I know that's a lot of this, you know, website stuff, but some of that actually is foundational.
Sure.
So I think that's how this may play out.
Yeah, and I think we need to proceed with caution and be delicate and firm. And our allegiance is always to the truth. But if you're willing to follow the truth, you got to be willing to talk about where it takes you. All right. So China, setting aside President Biden, what else are real big issues watching what's happening in D.C. for you?
Well, I think the border concerns.
Yeah.
I saw an article this morning, and we've been monitoring this. I've been to the border. I've talked with the agents. Sexual assault there at the border is up 538%. The amount of drugs. I did a press conference with sheriffs the other day, about four or five sheriffs, that talked about that you don't even have to cook some of the meth and the drugs because it's so cheap now because the drug cartels. We're talking about northern Mexico and Syria, the two most deadly places in the world. Everything that happens there is from the drug cartel. There are so many entities, from the anti-human trafficking to the drugs to all the different things that are going on. In fact, if you want to see me get worked up the most, it's when this administration kind of gave the green light to increase this. When they look, they have the same access to the secure information that I've seen, whether it's classified or unclassified. They know what happens to children coming across that when parents release them. And for them to give them the signal, knowing the humanitarian suffering, let's not even talk about what's happening on our side of the border. Let's just talk about what happened to these people as they try to come across. It's gruesome. It's horrendous. And I feel like that's something that we've got to continue to beat the drum on.
Why do you think they do this? Is this just one giant virtue signal? We care about people. We care about people that are impoverished. Everybody, just about everybody in the world would want to come here, by the way. Is it just a big virtue signal? Why do they continue to do this? They say they care.
Goes deeper than that. The basis, it's about control. Control and power through the vehicle of virtue signaling that when there is amnesty given or when they're reaching out to certain communities, vote for us, we'll continue to do this, we'll continue to give, we'll create victims, we'll do all of this. And that's the bottom line, not from a compassionate standpoint.
No.
This is, as always it has been with the left and even some places in our circles, it's always about control and power. Even COVID was used to backtrack on some of this to get on its back for more power, more control. And that's ultimately the federal government. Thomas Jefferson warned us about this, and that's where we are today.
Well, the Democrat Party can do math, even if it's Common Core math. They're going to be able to figure out the majority of these people coming over the southern border, because you can create a victim mentality in this country. Then they're going to turn to the victim party, which is the Democrat Party, and people are just pawns. I don't think they actually care about anybody other than themselves. And I know that sounds harsh, but I think the history bears it out.
Listen, I've seen it on the floor. When you've got three Democrats out of 198 that vote with Republicans, the other 195 vote that if a baby doesn't survive a botched abortion, that the life isn't worth saving.
Yep.
Obviously, these people do not care about it. And that's where we've got to continue to point these people out. Listen, fight Sometimes people will say, well, are Christians supposed to be nice? We're supposed to engage in the battle. We can still love our neighbor.
Sure.
But those that are bringing harm to our communities, we call them out, and we do so with boldness.
Well, I was just talking about – there was a story I was reading earlier today about Americans are leaving unemployment rolls more quickly. Oh, really? In states cutting off benefits.
That's that math thing again.
That's shocking. I know. But we've – again – it's just created the Democrats largely, but there were Republicans involved in this as well, creating a continued kind of drug dealer, drug addict state.
Yeah, it's here's the pitch. It's all about, we're not taxing the rich enough, and you're the victim, and you should support us. When the reality is that 97% of all federal taxes are paid by the top 50% wage earners. The numbers simply don't add up, speaking of math, but anytime they can posture a pitch, they're trying to help you.
Yeah.
What really helps somebody? Does it help them to get an on-ramp to be able to find the self-worth to get out there and provide for their families and be able to get back, or does it help them more by creating that victimhood status?
Yeah, great point. I was watching a video that just came out over the weekend. You mentioned a few minutes ago, Mark. We're talking to Congressman Mark Walker, who's running for a U.S. Senate here in North Carolina, walker4nc.com. Talking about people waking up. And you're starting to see more and more footage of school board meetings when parents are just getting torqued off and stepping up to the plate. I just saw one where literally one of the school board members called one of the parents a blank blank. The parent rushed the stage and got up in the guy's face. This stuff's just continuing to happen, mostly because of critical race theory. And as difficult as it is to watch that, this is a serious issue because I think through critical race theory, they're actually attempting to resegregate the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Governor DeSantis, this just happened. Florida orders universities to assess viewpoint diversity and allows students to record their professors to use that as evidence. I think this is a huge threat to the stability of the nation. What can be done from a U.S. Senate perspective to deal with critical race theory? We see it happening on certain governor levels, but anything happen in D.C.?
Well, we actually pushed through an A-plus act, worked with Heritage Foundation on it, that doesn't strip away any of the funding, but it allows all decisions when it comes to a child's education based as much as we can in the local arena. Bureaucracy should not have any say-so, because that's where a lot of this comes from. So the more that you can localize those decisions, the better chance that you have in educating your children in the way they should be educated.
Yeah, keep it local and not under the cash purse strings from D.C., because that's how you wonder how they implement national agendas on a local level. It's always the cash. It's always the cash. About 30 seconds left, Mark. Just generally, how can we help you? How can we pray for you? What can people do to be involved?
Listen, we're so honored when people say, hey, we're praying for you. We're out there working for you. We've got 8 or 9 months for this primary. We don't really even ask for the vote at this point. We just want to earn people's trust.
Yep.
And I believe when they look at our record, they're going to see a contrast of being both the warrior and the bridge builder.
Yeah, what a great point. Congressman Mark Walker, always great to see you. Thanks for stopping by. Walker4NC.com is the website. Walker4, that's the number 4NC.com. Hey, Steve, you're a ministry. Are you endorsing Mark Walker? You're not allowed to do that. Sure, I'm not allowed to do that. And yes, I am. Thanks for asking.
Thanks,
all right,
Steve.
We'll talk to you guys later. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you here on a Monday. Just to lay out what's happening this week, I've got kind of a crazy week in the Noble family life. So I'm here today and tomorrow. Wednesday, I'm off. My great aunt, who is one of the only born-again Christians my wife and I knew on both sides of the family when we became believers in 1994. She just went to be with the Lord a couple days ago. So I'm going to drive 4 hours out to the beautiful mountains of North Carolina, Lake Lure, which is where my parents retired to for 10, 11, 12 years. Out there for her going home service and then driving back. Then I'll be in here on Thursday. Then I'm off on Friday because we're having kind of a family reunion on my wife's side of the family and 18 people at our house for the 4th of July weekend. So it's going to be a crazy week. But my buddy, Pastor Chris Connell, will be in here on Wednesday and Friday. You know Chris. He's guest hosted for me many, many times. Loves the Lord, knows the Lord, knows the Word. He's very funny. We have a lot of fun together. He's pretty good at radio. And because he's just hilarious in the first place. But he'll be in here on Wednesday and Friday. So a little bit crazy this week. But that's what's going on. But this week, one thing we're doing normally is doing a little Money Monday update with our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital. LandmarkGold.com. As always, David, how are you?
Great. good to be on your program. I'm not that funny, though, but I'm, I think I know my topic a little bit. I know some scripture.
Yes. 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 And every once in a while, you actually are kind of funny. So don't worry about that. You do just fine.
Okay.
It's great to have
my day job, though.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. All right. It's great to have you on. And I know we've got several things to talk about, what's going on out there with the numbers, of stimulus and spending and inflation. And this whole word, I want to make sure everybody understands, because we're hearing transitory inflation, which makes it sound like it's no big deal. And then some shocking news in the gold market. But we'll start where our foundation should always be, with the word of God. You're in 1 Timothy 6:17. Let's go through that, and then we'll dive into these other things.
Well, it says this: command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, which richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Boy, there's so many, we could just take segments of this scripture and just have a whole long conversation, a full hour about it. Obviously, we're not supposed to put our trust in our wealth or our ability to make wealth, because that's wisdom from the Lord. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be good stewards. So there's a difference. And sometimes people tie those together. But those who put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. That's where our source is. It's not from our IRA or 401k. It's not from the markets, gold, silver, stocks. Those are just things that help us, that we're required to be good stewards of. And those are things that will help us live longer later on in life. That's the purpose of that. But it's not something that we're going to be arrogant about, and I'll leave it at that, because we're probably running out of time if I keep on going on.
Yeah, that's a rich topic for all of us, pun intended, and something that we should really check our hearts on, because as money fluctuates, as the economy fluctuates, if you're really losing your mind, listening, I understand we all have to provide. The Bible says a man that doesn't provide for his family is worse than an unbeliever. I understand that. But if your ebb and flow and your joy is tied to what's going on to your net worth, then that's probably a heart issue and maybe a priorities issue, but that's something we should all definitely consider, because the Bible talks a lot about this subject, so we should give it great consideration. So I appreciate that. So we talked previously, obviously, about the stimulus and spending being beyond over the top. So give us a quick summary of how aggressive this has been, so we can understand what kind of nightmare that our federal government is creating for us.
Well, in the history of the world, Steve, we've never, ever, ever seen something of this stimulus size, even remotely close to this enormous stimulus package, which has come from three distinct areas. Huge amounts of money has been dumped into the economy in a very short amount of time, 16 months. Here's the three areas. Government stimulus as of $14.4 trillion. And, you know, some say, well, it was President Biden or President Trump. They're both did this, and previous presidents. President Trump, in his last 6 months of office, $5.5 trillion. President Biden, his first 6 months, $8.9 trillion. He spent 62% more than President Trump his last 6 months. So we're on a spending spree. That's section one, or sector one. Sector two is around the Fed. Fed balance sheet stimulus went up $4 trillion in 16 months, and the Fed printing, called the M1 money supply, went up $4 trillion. You total it 16 months, $22.4 trillion. That's not even the rest of the year of the spending, which is probably another $4 trillion between the Fed and the government.
Yeah, it's just mind-boggling. And again, that would be like in our little worlds going, okay, I took out another credit card, then I took out another credit card, and then I borrowed against my house. And you know that, okay, sooner or later, you're going to run out of rope, and then the chickens will come home to roost. And that's what we're looking here. And none of us know when that's actually going to happen, but this is an unavoidable problem that they're creating for us. So we've got that going on. Of course, that then brings us to inflation. And so we keep hearing this, hey, don't worry, it's just transitory. Our mutual friend TJ said this on Facebook about transitory. If Chipotle, you know, the Mexican restaurant, if Chipotle raises prices because costs are increasing, do you think they're going to lower the prices when inflation subsides? So they go,
of course
they are. Yeah, so transitory. Help us understand what that's about.
Well, I said on your program here 3 weeks ago that the CPI number, the yardstick for the Fed, came in raging, raring hot at 5%. Last Friday, another Fed yardstick, the more one they use, called the core inflation, the core PCE, which is personal consumption expenditure, that index came in at 6.4%. So it's raging red hot. The idea of transitory is just for the birds now. I mean, I think the Fed has it all wrong. Others are now saying that. Even portions of the Fed is saying that. B of A came out and said the transitory part is over and sees hyperinflation for coming up for 4 years. And kind of going along with TJ, one of the guys at Bank of America, chief investment strategist Michael Harnett, said, what's so fascinating, so many deem inflation as transitory when stimulus is deemed as permanent.
Jeez.
So it's not if stimulus is permanent, transitory inflation is not a thing. It's inflation is here.
Yeah.
So and I don't have time to go on, but Bank of America warned that there's hyperinflation coming, and as long as 4 years, Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary under Clinton, said it's we're really close to 5%, and Goldman Sachs says hyperinflation is also coming, and there's others like Kyle Bass. He's a billionaire. He was on CNBC. He says this: the U.S. is already grappling with real inflation rates above 10%.
Wow.
You see it in every aspect of life.
So what is then, by definition, what's hyperinflation?
Weimar Germany in the early 1915 to 1921, where their currency devalued 99.9999%. You lost all your purchasing power, and the amount of paper they heated their homes with it because it was worthless, literally worthless. I mean, they used it as money. It's just a massive inflation on steroids.
Is there some number, like an inflation rate, that people will say, okay, now it's hyperinflation? Does it have to hit some benchmark number?
Because
10% for us,
that,
I mean, 10% for us is, I'd have to go back to what, Jimmy Carter, to find 10% inflation?
It was inflation was 14% back under Carter.
Yeah, and if you're old enough, you remember what kind of a train wreck the economy was, pretty much everything was back then. It's just devastating. So on the other end of that is, of course, what's been going on with gold and silver, which we've talked about as a great asset to own on the other end as we talk about diversification. But is there anything new going on there, anything kind of crazy happening?
Biggest news, I'll say one of the top five news announcements in my 27 years of career. So it's going to be a big news. We'll talk more about it next week. We have a whole hour, and we'll talk more about the inflation next week and define hyperinflation. But here's the news in a nutshell. The European banks, they changed the rules according to what you call Basel. Basel is a group that oversees the banking committee and supervises the banks in Europe. What I'm not talking about is they're not changing the guidelines for central banks because they don't oversee that per se, but they influence it. But this is, you know, your local bank that you put money in Europe, okay? So that's what this is. Normally, that bank, that local bank, is going to buy gold on paper, and that would be like a 20-to-1 ratio, the one being the physical gold. So they're highly leveraged in paper gold compared to physical gold on their deposits in their vaults. Today, that ruling changed. Now they have to have 1-to-1.
Whoa.
This is historic. So, and in January, the UK is going to follow these guidelines. So this means a couple things. One, it means they're going to either have to stop forward selling paper contracts, which will influence gold to go up, or they're going to have to start buying more physical gold to balance out the portfolio in reference to paper, which will cause gold to go up. Now, I'm not saying gold's going to shoot up like a rocket, I'm not that type of person. I don't say those things, but it will probably be influenced to go higher over time. This also tells us another big thing. Their actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
They're changing the banking system in Europe. They see a train wreck coming. They're telling their banks to get ready by having enough physical gold to back leverage money. And that's what brings systems and banks down when you're over leveraged. So something is up because they wouldn't be doing this. They've been working on this for a long time. All of a sudden, now they wake up and say, let's do this. Okay,
yeah.
Something is up.
Well, yeah, when there's a historical news story like that, that means there's history somewhere. Either it's just been made or it's going to be made. So obviously, follow the people and the institutions that are dealing with literally trillions of dollars and affecting things all around the globe and see what they're doing. They're not doing it because they played spin the bottle. they have a very good reason to do so. So for people to get more educated about this stuff, David, what should they do?
And this is mainstream media, Market Watch, by the way. Yeah, they can call us 844-604-2575, 844-604-2575. It's very historic news today. Or go to landmarkgold.com.
Have a great 4th of July, my brother. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. We're going to do a full Money Monday show next Wednesday. So we appreciate you, David. Thanks.
Enjoy your family. You're in union.
Thanks, pal. You too. God bless you, everybody. Hopefully we'll talk again real soon.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.